It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out Radio Show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on 106.7, 5, and 3. You can also listen at KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. It's time to introduce you to the host of Speak Out. When legendary drummer Keith Moon was MIA, who did the Who turn to?
Yo, Paulie!
When the great Pele asked for a sub, who did his World Cup team turn to?
Yo, Paulie!
Now this world-renowned musician slash athlete has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only, I mean, could you imagine a twin? Paul Lavoie.
You can knock me down, watch me bleed, but you can't keep no chains on me. I was born free. I was born free.
All right, welcome to Speak Out. I'm Paul Lavoie. And you guys okay on the volume there? Good? Oh, sorry. Yeah. It'd help if I brought your channels up, right?
Yeah, but the listeners would probably appreciate if I was muted, but
yeah. Yeah, well.
Good to be here. Thanks, Paul.
I'm a little slow today. I just switched to Sanka, right?
Sanka.
You remember that movie? Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Sanka,
yeah. It was the science teacher, biology or whatever. I just switched to Sanka. I'm a little slow today. So, anyway, welcome to the show, everybody. It's Tuesday, April 9th, 2024. And he didn't ditch us today. City Manager Jess Knudsen is here.
No, I'm here. Happy to be here, Paul. I appreciate you. I think the last time I was scheduled to be on the program, Anthony Kozlowski did a fine job.
And Mike Keane.
And Mike Keane was here as well too. So Anthony and Mike were here and did a bang up job. So I was, that entire week was budget week. So
I was going to say, do you have a note from your budget meetings?
A note?
You know? Excuse.
Like a doctor's note?
So I can put you down in my attendance book?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Yeah, I'll have to mark me as absent, unexcused.
Unexcused? No, you had an excuse. The city's budget.
I don't have a note, though.
You had to attend to it.
But yeah, you need a note to be.
Well, if you're going to hit me with acronym flags, then I'm going to hit you with attendance notes. So there you go.
Yeah.
So I got a really fun thing to talk about before we get into the fun part of, you know, city manager life and that. And Tim Kellett's here as well.
Hello, hello.
Back on the show.
I am.
I like having Tim on the show. When he walked in, oh yeah, that guy.
Tim's pretty fantastic.
He's got good energy and a lot of water knowledge and a scary amount of wastewater knowledge, right?
It's not that scary.
Yeah.
Just remember, we make it go away.
Yeah. It's not. What, Will?
We make it go away.
You make it go away.
Make it go away.
Nice.
And that's not so scary.
It's like that, what was that, Ren and Stimpy had that spray or whatever? You remember? I think that was that show. Anyway. Just to keep it fun and lighthearted, right? Okay. I just got an air fryer for my birthday.
Yeah.
I just brought it home, took it out of the box.
You've never had an air fryer previous to that?
I was going to buy myself one after my birthday, just in case, and my sister gave me one.
Do you have a microwave?
I do, of course.
Okay.
I have a toaster oven, too.
Okay, there you go.
And it has a round back, so it'll take a 12-inch pizza.
There you go.
It's a pretty cool toaster oven, dude. It's pretty chill.
Yeah, well, welcome to 2011.
Well, anyway, I used it last night. Okay. And it has these little paper baskets that go in the box. It's only an air fryer, nothing more, nothing less.
Sure.
And made like a pound and a half of chicken wings, you know, just a small bag of drumettes and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
First time out, I absolutely nailed it. I'm like, man. I'm like Wolfgang Puck right now.
Paul, it is kind of hard to screw up an air fryer.
Is it?
Yeah, it's
I've had some pretty poor food out of an air fryer up in Vegas.
Okay.
Yeah. A little too crispy.
Okay, they cook it too long?
Maybe a little dry, a little whatever, but I don't know. Or that's maybe fun. It was leftover food. Who knows?
You know, I mean, if we're...
I am worth leftovers.
If we're going to spend the entire hour talking about kitchen appliances...
we could.
I did. I bought, for the first time, an Instant Pot. And that thing is amazing.
Is that the water?
It's like a pressure cooker, essentially.
Oh, yeah, right.
So I'm a single dad with two boys. I get home, and I'm... thinking about work, and the first thing what happens when I walk in the door is, Dad, what's for dinner? I have no idea.
Take home ec.
The Instant Pot is a lifesaver.
Tell them to take home ec.
I know.
How old are they?
They're old enough to use an air fryer.
Well, there you go. Perfect.
That's funny.
But the first time out of the box, I was like, yeah, touchdown.
Yeah.
Man, I felt like Gordon Ramsay without the attitude.
Yeah.
It was pretty cool.
There's a lot of things you can do in air fryer.
Yeah, and I can give attitude, that's for sure.
Grilled cheese sandwiches are great in there, too.
Are they?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Look at she gave me a cookbook to go with it, so I don't know, man. Me and cookbooks are, Anyway, tonight.
are we officially off the rails?
No, it's like emails. There's a joke about me in the office about emails. I read the subject line, I read about 1/3 into it, and if you didn't make your case or give me your call to action, then I'm going on to the next thing.
Okay.
Know?
Yeah.
So I miss things.
Gotcha.
So it's yeah.
So I how to draft an email.
She cut that.
Depending on what you want out of them, you just put it towards the
end.
And
I'm breaking that habit, just so you know. Okay. So anyway, city council meeting tonight. How do you like the new digs?
So we had our last council meeting was the very first meeting in the council chambers located in our new courthouse. Worked out really great. Nice comfortable seating for the public and some just the right amount of technology for the council and to convey information from staff to council and to the public. So working out great. A few kinks to work out, but phenomenal job by everybody involved. We have Phil is our project manager that has done a great job with that location, and Steve Blake and Jonathan Basket and Jerry Bracamonte and Kelly Williams, our city clerk, have all done a really good job of making that transition. Pretty fantastic.
Nice.
Obviously, the what's new for the public is the new space, but also there's metal detectors because we're in the courthouse, and so there are security and metal detectors that the public needs to go through in order to make their way to the council chambers. That's more of a security issue for the building than it is for the council meeting. If you wanted to get a weapon into the courthouse, then you'd find a time when the building was open and there wasn't any security going on. So we want to prevent that from happening and make sure that there's a security at all times when that building is open. But minor little inconvenience for those that attend, but well worth it, I think, to make sure that the building is safe first and foremost, and you're safe when you come in and attend a council meeting like you always would be.
Jess, I'm a technical guy, obviously.
Sure.
I've hooked up a lot of different, devices, obviously, and that sort of thing. But how long, what kind of man hours did it take to rewire for the new council chambers?
I couldn't tell you the amount of hours.
The audio-video.
The audio-video aspect of it. We did contract a lot of that work out in terms of the wiring.
Uh-huh.
The good news is that it was a new space. So we're able to wire that area before the drywall goes in.
Absolutely.
So that's obviously a big
all
deal.
All the kickouts, right.
But we went to we have five. I'm trying to the number of large screen televisions that are in that room, so that at every angle where you're sitting in the audience, you're able to see what the PowerPoints or the pictures.
Just short of the sphere then, right?
Yeah,
just short of the sphere in Vegas.
Yeah,
a little less visible.
A little less.
I'm kidding.
Yeah, about 167,000 less speakers than the sphere has. But
right.
Yeah,
that's funny. So meeting tonight, 5:30.
Yeah, meeting tonight as always, the second and fourth Tuesday of every month. We'll meet at 5:30, and of course, as we're talking about it, in the new location on 94 Acoma. That'll be taking place this evening. A number of items on the agenda. Some kind of operational day-to-day stuff, but also some very newsworthy or some exciting stuff to talk about today with you.
So one of those things is wastewater regulations that you're going to go over, right, Tim?
Yeah, introduction to an update to the water wastewater regulations.
That scared me when you first told me that off the air. I'm like, man, we just had this last year, right?
And that has
totally different.
Nothing
to do with
okay,
the water and wastewater.
How is it different?
Yeah.
So this isn't anything to do with billing at all, other than it ties everything much more neatly into the already adopted master fee schedule. So the majority of the edits that we're talking about are taking things from the old irrigation district and turning it into today's terms. So a really simple example is years ago it was called the material safety data sheet, and that's no longer the word. Now it's called just the safety data sheet. So that's editorial things like that. It's cleaning up areas where in previous versions it would say something like operations director. Well, what that really means is the public works director. So it's a lot of editorial changes. And the other thing that we're doing is we're combining the water and wastewater into one title within city code. So it's not found in a bunch of different places anymore. It's in one spot. So if anybody's looking for a reg, they're going to go to Title 4. They're going to be able to see everything that covers water and wastewater for the most part. There's still references throughout, but instead of being in Chapter 8 and Chapter 11, everything's in 4. And that's just a nice little cleanup thing. So bringing everything up to standard, getting those editorial things taken care of, and just making sure it's actually written the way the city functions.
You've been with the city, what, 8 months now, you said?
Yeah, roughly 8 months.
8 months. He's looking at his watch. That's funny. That's typical L.A. guy, right?
Yeah.
Looking at his watch. Was that your idea to streamline this?
No. This project was handed off to me. It had already been moving for about 6 months by the time I picked it up. I picked it up roughly December and was asked just to get this through the finish line, make sure all the technical aspects have been covered, discussed. I have a little bit more of a technical background, so I was able to kind of look at things that may not make sense to...
Yeah, you're an engineer, right?
Oh, no, actually, by degree, I'm a marine biologist.
Oh, okay. All right, well, close enough.
Yeah, close
enough. It's same thing.
Same thing.
220, 221, whatever it takes.
Exactly.
So, okay, as far as the finish line goes, that's what I was going to ask you.
Yeah.
Where is the finish line? How far out are we? Is this just council approval now?
So where we're at today is we'll introduce it to the council, and then in 2 weeks we'll take it to the council for formal adoption. If they choose to adopt it on the meeting at the 23rd, it goes into effect 30 days from then. So that's the timeline for when it actually becomes an actionable item, as it were, within the sphere of the city.
What's the total time that's been spent on this then since your predecessor and then you?
I'm guessing around 8 months.
Wow.
Would be about the total
that's
time.
That's pretty comprehensive.
Yeah, we've spent a little bit more time than that. It's been over a year since we've kind of started the process to look at this. It's very important. You know, we had some rules and regulations when it comes to water and sewer operations that were dated. I don't know, Tim, if you recall, but I think we're talking about like 10, 15 plus years since the last time we did an update on the water and sewer regulations.
Yeah, has been like, I believe 2008 was the actual true update to it. There was a minor amendment in 2013, but again, minor. Yeah, that had to do with more organizational parts of the city and just the way the city had kind of differentiated departments. In 2013, they made a change for that stuff, but a significant change hasn't happened since 2008.
So, I mean, some of this is, when are meters installed, how they're installed, and if there's a leak on the customer's side, how the city goes about in trying to determine relief for that customer, those types of things. You've heard me say it on your show before, Paul, and I'll say it a bunch more times, but what we had was reality wasn't matching policy or code. And if that's the case, we have to change one or the other, either change reality or code.
Yeah.
And so we're consistent, across the board. And, the removal of the irrigation and drainage district that took place a couple years ago for relief off of residents' property tax bills. And then more of a fee for service type of approach was introduced at that point, there's language and updates that need to take place because of that. But there's a lot that's associated with this.
So now in hindsight, and I can use the acronym IDD because you already said Irrigation Drainage District, right?
Correct. Yeah. Good
now job. Now in hindsight, are there any unintended consequences from that weren't foreseen when that was dissolved?
With the IDD?
Yeah.
No, I mean, at the time we were looking closely at the IDD. That was a district that was created back in the inception of Lake Havasu at the direction of Robert McCulloch.
Right.
And you look at that district did not include the foothills area, did not include the Ribby area. So from just a sense of consistency and fairness across the board, as we all should be contributing towards our water and wastewater systems, why is the balance of the community paying for water and sewer system improvements and maintenance that other areas of the community aren't paying for? So that was a big deal. And then from an IDD perspective, it's a line on your property tax that isn't associated in any way with how many times you flush the toilet or you utilize the faucet. So more of a direct link to the for your behaviors in terms of water and sewer use. So no, I think we've done a really good job of making that transition and with the removal of the IDD, and I think it works out pretty great. So no unintended consequences that have popped up.
What's the average property tax savings on that?
Oh boy,
do we know yet?
Don't look at me. That is not.
Do we know yet?
No, with the removal of the IDD, I see it. You know, I always hesitate from providing a number, especially when I'm in a public arena, because I don't want to get
wrong. No, I know. Gets you caged.
Yeah,
I get that.
Yeah. But several hundred bucks a year.
Wow.
Was
sizable.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Perfect. Sure. Mm-hmm. We're going to take a short break and go out. We got the approval from the water guy over here for Beastie Boys.
There you go.
And now it's mine, apparently.
Yeah.
He's got the albums also.
There you go.
And the Kid Rock.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm impressed.
Yeah.
I'm impressed. I wasn't even in on the interview process. You hired the right guy.
Well, now you know why.
All right. Back with more in a moment. We have City Manager Jessica Knudsen from Lake Havasu City and Tim Kellett, the Water Sustainability Program Manager. Did you come up with that title or did Jess?
Actually, I think it's Anthony's fault.
Anthony's
fault.
Again.
Yeah.
Back with more of them. Stay with us on Speak Out. 928-854-KNTR. 928-854-5687. Turn this into talk radio, folks. Not just listen radio. These guys just don't understand bachelorhood. I don't know. You should, by the way, Jess.
I'm sitting right here.
You just don't understand. No, I know you're a bachelor.
Yeah.
That's cool. And you're doing what I used to do, the whole single dad thing.
Sure.
So, yeah. It gets better, all right?
Okay,
it gets better.
I was told it gets worse.
No, when they grow up and they leave.
I told it gets worse. They get into car accidents. And
oh, boy.
No, right.
College. Yeah.
Right? All right, Speak Out brought to you in part by... I got to turn this up. Oh, I missed the post. All right, Speak Out brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage. Love those guys. Also, Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford. By Patio Paradise, just meets all the cuts all the time. A locally owned and operated butcher shop in Lake Havasu City. I wonder if they sell air fryers. Salmon's Air Conditioning, serving the tri-state area for over 53 years. Ask about Salmon's superior maintenance plan. And by Blonzy Steakhouse, 4501 London Bridge Road in Desert Hills. You guys tried it yet?
Blonzy's? Great place to eat.
It's amazing breakfast.
Oh, breakfast it is, huh? Yeah, okay. Yeah.
They have Northwest Loco Moco. And instead of rice on the bottom,
okay.
You know what Loco Moco is?
Loco Moco, for sure.
Yeah, rice.
The rice with the meat and
the hamburger
and
patty, the egg,
and
the gravy. Right? Instead of rice, it's hash browns.
Oh, fun.
Woo, yeah.
For breakfast.
That's a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's a heart attack.
That's
perfect.
It's about 3 or 4 hours worth of food, though.
Seriously.
Less.
It sounds amazing.
Yeah, and steaks are just the beginning at Blonzy's. They also feature the Prius and all veggie sandwich. And don't forget, we stream live, and our show archives are at KNTRtalk.com. And I need to mention this, because I just got it from MCSO. The free life jacket exchange is coming up. The Mojave County Sheriff's Office Division of Boating Safety, in partnership with Game and Fish and Anderson Power Sports, are hosting a life jacket exchange from May 18th. It's on May 18th from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. So 10 in the morning until 12 noon, and it's until... supplies last. This is how it works. There's a lot of people show
There's
up.
There's a lot
for
of
this.
Demand for that, for sure. Yeah.
You can exchange your worn, torn, or otherwise unserviceable life jacket for a new vest-style jacket for free. Do not show up with orange type 2 jacket because it will not be accepted. The life jackets are exchanged on a first-come, first-served basis, so be early. And MCSO wants you to know, and that's Mojave County Sheriff's Office, by the way, not Maricopa. Boat safe, boat smart, boat sober, and always wear your life jacket. So there you go, or your PFD, right?
That's a great event they do.
It really is.
Yeah, I mean, that's a life-saving event right there.
Yeah, it really is. Hey, nice tag, by the way. Yeah. All right, where do we want to start here? I kind of want to go with the traffic flow cameras.
Sure.
So what's going on? You know, there's misconception that these are red light cameras.
Yeah,
and they're not.
So on the agenda is the request to purchase three additional video detection systems that help us with traffic flow at our traffic signals. There's one that already in place. If you look over, I think it's Industrial and Lake Havasu Avenue, and essentially it's a camera that's pointing down at the intersection. We got a caller. We're gonna hit pause on that.
Hit pause on your thought?
Sure.
Sure, why not? Okay. Caller, you're live on Speak Out.
I want to make it talk radio.
Not just listen radio. Now it's David Diaz radio. What's going on?
This is David Diaz. Nice to be on. I want to ask a question for Jess and the gentleman. I get his first name is Water. It's a water question. And
Tim,
it's been coming up. And Jess, you guys covered this really well at that last coffee with the mayor, but can you explain, because I'm getting a lot of questions about it, the retention wells on the island and what was just recently approved out there from the airport, and people think we're making a man-made lake out of the island because that's all the extra rain we just recently had.
Yeah.
So maybe you could explain that and let people know what that's all about.
Sure. Thank you, David.
Are you going to hang up and listen off the air?
I am going to do that. Yes.
Appreciate it. Thanks, David. All right.
Thanks. Bye.
Okay, yeah, great. We'll come back to that, to the video flow cameras. Mr. Diaz attended the coffee with the mayor and manager on Friday, and we spoke about one of our biggest issues we're dealing with operationally right now within the city, and that's a lot of effluent. So the city produces grade A plus effluent.
Wait, what does that mean?
That means it's the highest quality effluent that can be produced.
I'm not drinking it. All right.
Well, I mean, maybe next time I come, I'll bring a sample.
I need to preface this a minute, okay? Because I took a tour of a sewer treatment plant in Laughlin when it was new, brand new.
Okay.
Big Bend Water District, way back in the day.
Sure.
And when we got done, he offered the camera crew, everybody, a drink, and they're like, no, I'll pass. Hard pass.
I went to grad school in Illinois, and one of the old-time city managers up there, he was notorious for every Wednesday, he'd go to the wastewater treatment plant, and then they'd make coffee out of the effluent.
Oh.
They were so proud of the effluent that came out.
Wow.
It's perfectly safe to drink.
Perfectly safe to drink.
Yeah.
If you say so. All right.
It is, yeah. One of the biggest challenges we have right now operationally through our wastewater division is we have a lot of effluent. So we have a lot of people in town. We have a lot of users that are utilizing our water and our sewer systems. So we have more effluent than we can handle at the time. So if anybody that's been on the driving on the island lately will notice that there are ponds that are filling up and there's areas that are filling up. For a time, we had water that was flowing down McCulloch on the island. We have a retention basin that's right there by the wastewater treatment plant. We have a island ball field that's placed on the retention basin. So it's super unfortunate because right now is the time we have games and practices for our soccer leagues in town. They can't use that island ball field because we're using it as a retention basin. We don't know. We'd have nowhere else to put the effluent. Part of that we're struggling with is our good friends over at the Lake Havasu Golf Club, the golf course off of Acoma.
Right.
They have some challenge. They are a big user of and big customer when it comes to our effluent water, and they have one of their receiving ponds is dry, and they're trying to replace some equipment or repair some equipment. So they're taking less effluent from us. We had rains not this last weekend, but the previous weekend, which means that our other customers that rely on watering of their the golf course and the refuge, for example, that rely on watering of their landscape and their course with effluent. When they get rain, they don't need as much effluent from us. So we're really struggling with that, and so that's the short term dilemma that we're working with. What Mr. Diaz was talking about too is some of the solutions that we're working on for more of a long term approach. Council has approved, and we have more on the way in terms of in the CIP and in the plans for Vados wells. Tim, how many Vados wells do we have?
I think there's six currently operational. Drilled 8 and 9.
Yeah.
So we're in the process currently of drilling a new Vados well, and if you don't mind, it's basically injecting the effluent water. So the city can be very proud. We recycle all of our water, and we actually then inject it back into the groundwater system to allow for the last bit of natural filtration, and then it eventually gets returned to the lake. So we are being very good stewards of our water. I mean, it's an incredible thing that I learned once coming to the city is how well designed the reuse system really is. So it's a huge benefit to the city, and like Jess was just saying, we've already, through council, got more wells coming online, and it just makes us more and more water efficient, more and more water safe with our supplies that we have available.
In addition to that, Tim, you're also working on a challenging approach to getting a discharge permit from ADEQ, or the Arizona Department of Environmental Quality.
Right, right.
Yeah.
The one we can be thankful for, our sewer expansion.
Yes,
right? It was
yes.
ADEQ.
Yeah, that's what it stands for, is our sewer expansion.
Right, right.
But we're trying to get a permit, and Tim's leading the way on that effort. Mm-hmm. That'll help us. You want to explain kind of what that permit would do for us?
Yeah, so basically it'll give us the ability to take this essentially drinkable water and actually discharge it directly into the lake, which will decrease the need for the use of the island ball field, for example, or in times like February, March, if we get rainy, we'll have somewhere to put the water that will still have beneficial use, right? It's just downstream users will still see the benefit of this as well.
Do you get credit for that?
That's another thing we're working on. In sort of a bigger scope, the rules of how the river operates are up for renewal in 2026.
Sure.
And all of the basin states are already engaged with the federal government and the Mexican government and the tribes in trying to figure out how the river is going to operate into the future. So as for right now, do we get direct credits? No, but our efforts are recognized through different agreements with Central Arizona.
While we're on the water topic, I did a story yesterday. I saw a post on, I want to say LinkedIn, about non-potable water
yes.
for construction companies.
That's the same.
I thought that was brilliant.
Yeah, so then we have all three of our wastewater treatment plants. We have the ability for anybody that wants to come and utilize it more on the contract.
It's more on a reservation basis, though, right?
No, the supply is unlimited, essentially.
Okay.
Come and take it.
You can't just come and show up and take it, though, can you?
You have to coordinate in advance with each of the wastewater treatment plants. It is available 24 hours a day, though, from the island treatment plant. So the discharge or the filling station is outside of the gates. For the other two treatment plants, they're inside the gate, so you need to coordinate with wastewater staff. That's available 5:30 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. Monday through Friday at the other two plants. And the important part about this is it is free. So if anybody wants to do it, our request is call in advance so we know you're coming. Give us an idea of how much you're doing, because we do report out how that water's been used to ADEQ. It's been used. I can throw it back in there now.
Mm-hmm.
So, but we are absolutely encouraging anybody who needs to do dust mitigation, if they have one of the three treatment plants close to them, or construction water, it's available and it is free compared to, I believe the number is $2.51 per billing unit for the potable water. So that option's available.
That's out of the fire hydrant, right?
Yeah. You'll see a hydrant meter on there,
sure.
Something to that effect. Those have a hydrant deposit and all these kinds of things.
It's a big savings for 100 cubic feet, I think.
100 cubic feet.
Yeah.
For, it's either $2.51 or it's free.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Free 99.
Absolutely.
Like that.
And a better use of resources, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why use potable water when you can use grade A-plus effluent?
Let's jump back into the traffic flow cameras
before
the filibuster.
Before the It's a great topic. I appreciate that question. But,
no worries.
I was talking about, I think it was Industrial and Lake Havasu Avenue. There's a traffic signal there, too, we have this video detection system that's in place. People, going through the community look at a camera on a traffic signal, and they're going to think it's a red light camera or Big Brother or otherwise that's out there. It's not. Right now, the majority of the traffic signals within the community, I'm talking about there's some on ADOT, right away, which is Highway 95 as well, but throughout the city as well, we have actuators with underneath the pavement. So why does that signal turn green with a green arrow when you're parking in that turn lane?
Mm-hmm.
It's because there's an actuator or a piece of equipment that's underneath the asphalt that's detecting the vehicle's weight, And because of that, then the traffic signal knows when to change lights.
Let me stop you for 1 second.
Yeah.
So motorcycles.
Yeah.
I used to ride a motorcycle, and I was always curious: is there enough weight there from the bike?
Yeah.
Up to an 1100 or whatever. Is there enough weight there from a motorcycle? Without another bike being next to you to trip that, what is it called? An actuator?
Actuator, that's underneath the, yeah. For the most part, yes, but as those, as equipment, ages and wears, right, then,
sure.
We hear complaints from time to time, not a lot that,
mostly at Mulberry.
Mulberry's in particular.
Like shorter than any light in Vegas, though, folks.
For sure. We have Havasu problems, and Havasu problems are good problems to have.
Because, no kidding.
If these are the problems that we have, then, sure. then life's pretty good, right?
Right.
But we want to replace the actuators underneath the asphalt with video. And then, so when you pull up to the traffic signal, the video detects there's somebody in this lane, it's time to cycle.
I got you. Mm-hmm. You guys want to take another break?
Perfect. Sure.
Brass Monkey.
There you go.
As long as there's no profanity, right? Are we good?
We have it in your hands, Paul.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks.
Don't screw it up.
Yeah. You got one job, right? Back away from the board. All right. I'm Paul Lavoie along with City Manager Jess Knudsen, Tim Kellett, Water Sustainability Program Manager. We got a whole bunch of topics to talk about, including those cell towers.
Cell towers and ambulances.
I've never seen so much fuss made over a cell tower.
Sure, I know, right?
Crazy. But I can understand at the same time. I get
100%.
It. I totally get
100%.
It.
Yep.
Back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out. Can't help but think how many people in North Dakota heard this coming out of Jess Knudsen's car one time.
There you go. All of them.
All of them?
Yeah.
How many people are in North Dakota, by the way? Is it a million yet?
There's two of us.
No, I know they're like Minot Air Force Base. There's a lot of military up there and a lot of oil fields in that. But
yeah, for
are
sure.
Are they up to a million yet?
I know. There's a. I'll do a quick. Google search here, but no, there's
one congressional district.
Really? Two senators.
Two? Well, of course.
Really? Okay, but name them.
Fake genius. Wow. I know it's Governor Northam. Right?
Just short of 800,000.
Okay.
Because
he had a short run for president. I think it was Governor Northam.
Yep. But the population of North Dakota is roughly equivalent to the population of the city of Mesa. City of Mesa. About a little 779,000.
Okay.
Yeah.
I remember when Nevada was that big, so.
Yeah.
All right, Speak Out brought to you in part by The Chair. Havasu-style dining, live entertainment in a flip-flop atmosphere. Check it out. Great view of the London Bridge. Stroll on over to The Chair. Also, Springburg Wealth Management by Mojave Community College. Sun Power by Esme Electric. By SamsGuns.com. By Dorita's Place, providing Havasu with all-natural dog and cat food along with pet toys since 2006. And you think the city's got new businesses? We got a new sponsor.
Awesome.
Oh, boy.
ZMI Mobility.
Okay, great.
Yep, on 911 North Lake Havasu Avenue. So you're going to be hearing a lot more here on KNTR Talk from ZMI Mobility. I think they're a Sean Hannity sponsor as well.
Nice.
So, yeah. Sounds like it's like TMI, only this is ZMI.
ZMI.
It's kind of cool. Did you guys ever drink Zima? You remember Zima?
I remember Zima in my early college days.
Yeah, exactly.
It was something that I chose to drink. Yeah.
You were proud? Well, no. This was way after college for me. So, I want to talk about those cell towers. You had the one that was down by Sarah Park that city said, okay, to the owners that were putting them in from Scottsdale, correct?
So we had
they might want to rethink that.
So we had a locator that they approached the city and wanted to improve the cell coverage in Lake Havasu City. And so they look at their coverage maps, and then they go back and try to identify roughly within the community where they need to locate their poles to improve cell coverage within the city. They came back to us with three locations, all on city property. It's harder and harder to find locations for cell towers as the city grows. For one, that you need fall zones. So if that that tower, as high as it is, has to be that far away from the property line to ensure that if something drastic did take place, that you know, the fall zone would be on the property that mm-hmm. it sits on. They identified an area at City Hall. They identified an area over at the Mulberry Treatment Plant. There was a rumor going around, and it's still out there, that people talk about that it was at Cypress Park. That location of that cell tower is not at Cypress Park. It's at the Mulberry Treatment Plant and that location. And then they had a third location on the south side, which is where we probably need the cell coverage the most. Certainly when it comes to public safety, we have some dark spots on the south side that put our officers in a bad position.
Mm-hmm.
But we listened to the community, and we heard from the neighborhoods in that area that said that it's not a great location. So we asked the vendor to go back and take a look at some alternative locations. Sarah Park was one we asked them to take a look at. It's tricky because that's a BLM patent, and you can't generate commercial activity in those areas. But we did ask them to go talk to BLM to see if there's something that could be done in that area. But fast forward to where we're at today. We have, as the landlord, the city is the landlord on these two properties, the Mulberry Treatment Plant, as well as City Hall area. So it's a lease agreement between the city as a landlord and the cell tower company as a leasee. And there's a dollar value associated with the leasing the space that comes back to the taxpayers. And we also reserve space on these towers for public safety or other city needs on these towers. So, okay. Yeah, we'll have two agreements on the agenda for tonight for council consideration for the leasing of the property for the placement of those towers.
Another agenda item concerns a rezoning of the Heat.
Heat Hotel.
Yeah. That's kind of interesting.
So the Heat Hotel, they're looking at adding 8 additional units to their property. Everybody knows right adjacent to the London Bridge, they have that patio area. What they're looking to do is to remove that patio area for the most part and add 6 additional units to that location. And then for those that don't know, the Heat Hotel, they own the property underneath the bridge on the island side. So obviously right adjacent to their existing property where that everybody knows. I think at one point there was a Kelly's Fudge shop. Mm-hmm. That was down below that to that location. And they're asking as part of this rezone to create 2 additional units down in that area. So the rezone, what they're asking for, would create 8 additional units at the Heat Hotel. Impacting the right. existing patio, outside patio area, as well as that structure that's underneath the bridge on the island side.
Tim, were you here last year for chip sealing?
I think I was. I think that was just kicking off. Or just
you would
off.
Definitely yeah. know. If you were here for chip sealing, but that's coming up, right?
Yeah, it depends on where you're at, right?
So it does. That's right.
Well, yeah, we've put a little less money into chip sealing in the last 2 years, and try to put a little bit more money into asphalt.
Explain what that process is.
So chip sealing is essentially something we've done in Havasu for decades, and it's a very effective, cheap way of maintaining your roads. So you take the existing roadway. Put in some crack seal, and then you put down essentially tar or hot oil, and then you place chips on top of it or small rocks, and then there's a way to compress the chips into the ground.
Very small rocks.
Yeah,
small rocks.
It's a Monty Python reference. Anyway, go ahead.
And then it allows us to, and then we have a new road at that point. So we're very cost effective. But we've done that for so many years in Havasu that we put chip seal on top of chip seal on top of chip seal on top of chip seal. So we're trying to invest the much as we can into straight asphalt projects. They're much, much, much more expensive than a chip seal. Yeah. But it's still part of our road maintenance program, and we have a contract for council's consideration this evening for chip seal and crack seal. as part of that as well, too.
I got you.
By the way, we're going to have, we'll have some more news coming out here shortly, but a lot of road construction is about to start here in the next 30 days.
Again?
Well.
Oh, this is off-highway road.
This is off-highway, right? So 95 is done. Essentially, there's still some final touches that they're doing, including those two bridge decks on 95.
I want to talk about that a little bit. Sure. But keep going.
But we have our city core pavement project that's coming up, and then it's going to be a disruption. And so I'm kind of wincing at how this is going to work, but it's needed. we just put down some really nice asphalt in the downtown of McCulloch between Smoke Tree and Acoma, and then off Swanson and Mesquite and those other areas. So we want to come back and put a product, like a fog seal product that's called HA5, on top of that asphalt. So it's kind of a sealer. It'll make the road really nice and black, which people look at that and go, this is a nice new road. But more importantly, it's preserving the asphalt, so it's going to last longer than it would otherwise do it. So I mean, if you put a paint or sealant on wood or whatever else too, it's a similar type of it's a good analogy for that.
Does it get more slick when it rains though? Does the oil come up? You know, like most asphalt. I've never really heard of this, the fog seal process.
Yeah, not any more so than you're going to see with anything else. All roads are made with oil, right?
Yeah, sure.
So even on the chip seal process is right. Made with oil. Asphalt more so, right?
Absolutely.
No, it doesn't won't make it any more slick than it would otherwise see. So you see a lot of slickness on asphalt when it's worn, right?
Yeah,
With less friction occurs.
Are you surprised that the efficiency of it was Fan Construction, right?
On 95.
On 95. Are you surprised at the efficiency of that project?
That was phenomenal.
I mean, one section here, one section there, and then the next day you're driving, and wow, there's even more, and paint. It was just the whole process went at one time.
Yeah.
The paving, the striping, tearing it up, paving, and then striping it. It was pretty amazing.
You know, you get concerned about traffic control. You get concerned about all those types of, and then closures and inconvenience. And it did happen from time to time, but far less than we expected. Through the coffees with the mayor and manager, we're prepping, the public and talking about, we're going to be happy when it's done, but it's going to be so painful when it happens.
Yeah.
And it wasn't painful. It was a very great process and approach. Obviously, a lot of that was done at night. And so those that that work or work in the evenings or out and about will probably have a different perception of what occurred in terms of road construction projects.
Must be a great feeling though when you're Leo or Sonny, John Gillette driving into town and wow, this road's pretty awesome.
Yeah,
right. Starting at the truck stops,
we got a real nice road that's going to last us 15, 20 plus years, and that's when it comes down to. So that's pretty great. And then on April 15th, which is Monday, they're going to start work on those two wash bridge decks. So we call it Bouncy Bridge, across from the county substation. And then on the south side, I forget the but it's right across from, I think, Calvary. There's another wash deck that for the bridge that's there. And they're going to be resurfacing those two wash bridge decks and kind of smooth it out a little bit.
We got about a minute and a half, and the last item, the ambulances.
Thank you.
Yeah, you made it.
We did. Thank you, Paul. Chief Palafis, our fire chief, Chief Palafis, has done an amazing job in his tenacity and what he's done to push this ball forward. We are the first community in Arizona to go through the approach that we're going through, working with the existing AMR ambulance service. Identify a partnership where AMR will provide transport services for medical and Lake Havasu City, if permitted, and it looks like all signs are pointing in that direction, will be able to provide those services as well, too. What does that mean? That's more ambulances in town and shorter run times and emergency response times for the public. As we're gearing up for that, we think we're going to hear back from the director of health services from the state here in the June timeframe. Mm-hmm. So we have two ambulances that are going to be on the agenda for council consideration for the purchase of two ambulances this evening on the agenda.
What's the price tag on those?
We are a total about $400 each.
Ooh.
Yeah. No, they're not.
Cheap.
They're not cheap.
Yeah. But do you want a cheap ride to the hospital?
Nah. I could do that myself.
Yeah. There you go.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Or call call Jess.
Yeah, or yeah, call me.
Yeah, I don't know what you drive, so
yeah,
I gotta tread carefully here, right? Yeah. All right, great show, guys.
Yeah, thank you, Paul.
You made it.
Appreciate it. Thank you, Tim.
Thanks for coming back, Tim.
Yeah. Not a problem.
All right,
happy to be here.
Hopefully, you bring the great and mighty Tim the Enchanter back.
The great and mighty Tim the Enchanter.
Yeah,
okay. He's big on the Monty Python.
I am.
This is right back there again.
It's all on DVD now.
Yeah, true.
All right, I don't have to wait for it to come on cable. Back in those days, right? All right. I'm going to come back with a short, what do we call that, a final shot? Back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out. Thanks, Jess. Thanks, Tim.
Thank you.
All right.
I hope she'll say, hey, me and you should hit the hay. I asked her out, she said no way. Kick it!
All right, welcome back to Speak Out. Here's a little final shot for you. The Diamondbacks need to win. Down 5 now. They've lost 5 games in a row. Back in Colorado tonight, 5 p.m. pregame, 5:30 or 5:40 for the first pitch, and then we'll go into the Suns and the Clippers. Suns only have a few games left. The last one is on Sunday against Minnesota. They'll be in Timberwolves country. So that's a 12 p.m. pregame on Sunday. And the Diamondbacks play the Cardinals. We'll join that in progress on Sunday. You can get all the details of that and more at KNTRSports.com, including we're going to carry the Frozen Four. That's the NCAA Hockey Championships from St. Paul. And we've got the Frozen Four on Thursday and the championship game on Saturday. All right. On tomorrow's show, we've got the Chamber of Commerce and we've got SMA Electric. So join us then. Coming up next, Sean Hannity, preceded by Fox News. Have a great day, everybody. Try to stand the wind out there. It's going to get better. It's going to get warmer, too, later in the week. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
You got to fight for your right.
This is KNTR Talk, KGJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.